Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When the most powerful Indra, the King of Heaven, saw this, he considered the fact that King Prithu was going to exceed him in fruitive activities. Thus Indra could not tolerate the great sacrificial performances performed by King Prithu. Purport. In the material world, everyone who comes to enjoy himself or lord it over material nature, he is envious of others. This envy is also found in the personality of the King of Heaven, Indra. As evident from the revealed scriptures, Indra was several times envious of many persons. He was especially envious of great fruitive activities and the execution of yoga practices or siddhis. Indeed, he could not tolerate them and he desired to break them up. He was envious due to fear that those who performed great sacrifices for the execution of mystic yoga might occupy his seat. Since no one in this material world can tolerate another's advancement, everyone in the material world is called Matsara, envious. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is therefore said that the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely Nirmatsara, non-envious. In other words, one who is not free from the contamination of envy cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, however, if someone excels another person, the devotee who is excelled thinks how fortunate the other person is to be advancing in devotional service. Such non-envy is typical of Vaikuntha. However, when one is envious of his competitor, that is material. The demigods posted in the material world are not exempt from envy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Ramo Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Nandai Tidhrim Eskripata Mahamandi Shri Guru Dhinata Paramahamala The first verse doesn't have purport, I'll just read out. Translation of the first verse. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, King Prithu initiated the performance of 100 horse sacrifices at the spot where the river Saraswati flows towards the east. This piece of land is known as Brahmavarta and it was controlled by Swayambhuva Manu. Here in this chapter, King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifices, how it is described, how King Prithu was performing sacrifices, and then he performed 99, and when he was performing the 100th one, how Indra became envious and he tried to disturb the sacrifice. Especially in this verse, it is described, when the most powerful Indra, the King of Heaven, saw this, he considered the fact that King Prithu was going to exceed him in fruitive activities. Thus, Indra could not tolerate the great sacrificial ceremonies performed by King Prithu. So, like Indra and Brahma, all these, they are actually posts. It is described in 4th Canto Bhagavatam that one who lives 100 lifetimes perfectly according to Varnashrama system, he can become Brahma. And then one who performs 100 horse sacrifices, he can become Indra. And like that there are Indra, this particular Indra, Purandara, he performed 100 horse sacrifices. That's why he became eligible for to occupy the post of Indra. And even Bali Maharaj had performed his 100 horse sacrifices. And for a temporary period, he became Indra. And then later on, in order to facilitate again for Purandara to back in Indra's post, Lord Vamana removed him and promised him that in the next kalpa, he will become Indra. So these are all material posts, and highly elevated souls can occupy. Even though they are highly elevated souls, but still they are afflicted with this quality of envy. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that Icha Dvesha Samuttena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. So the main reason for living entity to fall into this material world from the spiritual world is root cause is envy of Krishna. It is described in Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, the fall of living entity, that just like all of us, you know, tiny living entities, we are just like fireflies. So when a firefly wants to exhibit a little bit light in front of the sun, it just pales, it is futile. And when the desire to exhibit this light becomes very strong, that actually takes the root of being envious of Krishna. And then we all fall into this ocean of material existence. So the one thing like Krishna, they're like, you know, there it is there that Krishna cannot do two things. Even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot do two things. One is, where Krishna cannot reject somebody who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Somebody who surrenders to Krishna, he cannot send him away, "I can't give you shelter." Just like in the case of Vibhishan. When Vibhishan wanted to take shelter of Lord Ramchandra, Sugriva and others objected, but Ramchandra said, "What to speak of Vibhishan? Even if Ravana comes and, you know, take, you know, begs for surrender, I will give him." That was his, you know, assurance. Another quality, another thing that Krishna cannot do is Krishna cannot know what is darkness. Right? So Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakara. So Krishna is sun. So like whenever sun wants to know what is darkness, he cannot know. Wherever there is sun, there is no question of darkness. Like that, Krishna also cannot know what is darkness. He is the all effulgent original sun. So when a living entity, just like a firefly, wants to show his light, you know, when there is a sun or a, you know, lamp, it just fails. Even if all the living entities combine together and want to exhibit their light together, still they cannot, you know, defeat the sun's light. You know, so this is the condition of all of us, you know, living entities who actually want to become competitor to Krishna. So that is the root cause of all our bondage in this material world is this envy. So when we become envious of Krishna and fall into this material world, we become overcome by four desires. The first desire is, you know, desire to associate with opposite sex. So when we are in the spiritual world, we are always associating with Krishna, and Krishna is complete. And when we are with Krishna, you know, we also feel completeness. We also feel completeness. But when we leave this material world and then we are struggling in this world, then we feel incomplete without the association of Krishna. So in order to fill that void of association of Krishna, we try to associate with the opposite sex. So, and that becomes the another, you know, very thick bondage, very strong bondage, attraction to opposite sex. So then when we associate with opposite sex, then we try to imitate another quality of Krishna. That is, Krishna has this creative ability. Krishna can create. So we want to imitate Krishna, so we will associate with opposite sex and we try to create children. then struggle for the living entity increases. And when we create, like Krishna when creates, then he expands himself as Lord Vishnu and maintains, right? So when we create the children, and then there is a wife, and there are children, and then in order to desire that, in order to maintain that creation, we get another desire, third desire, that is desire for wealth. So that is the bahir pran. Antar pran is our life air, and then bahir pran is money, right? Money is like honey. So everybody is fond of wealth. And then fourth desire will arise, you know, when we associate with opposite sex, and then we fulfill the desire for creative ability, and then we get into maintaining, and then desire for wealth. When we do all these things, when we become frustrated, we want to speak. You know, we want to speak philosophy. You know, we want to hear our own voice. Like this, we become entangled in this world. So what is the difference between Maya and Krishna? Maya can attract us, but cannot satisfy us. But Krishna can attract us. Not only that, he can satisfy us also. Yeah. Like that famous example is given, that just like a mother, she can fulfill her hunger and fulfill hunger of the child also. But if the child is thinking, you know, I want to fulfill my hunger by my own cooking, and then she goes to the mother, said, I want to cook. Mother says, you can't cook, you're too small. But the child insists, then mother gives toy cooker and toy stove. In the same way, Krishna can enjoy, he is complete, and he can enjoy himself, and if you are with him, he can fulfill our enjoyment also. But when the jiva thinks, I want to enjoy like Krishna, and then Krishna gives this toy cooker, toy material world, which is actually, you know, big illusion, right? So this illusion is created for us, you know. Just like if somebody tries to eat a plastic apple, you know, plastic banana, he doesn't enjoy the taste, but he only gets pain. In the same way, out of envy we are in this material world, and then we try to enjoy in this world. But actually in this world, it's just like a plastic apple, toy cooker. We can't get any enjoyment, we get only pain. And this illusion continues for a long, long time. You know, all this is because of envy. So the moment we give up envy towards Krishna, we can become free from all these sufferings of material existence. And just like in a clear sky, you know, if you see, look at the sky, you can see the stars. On a full moon day, you can see the moon, right? They all look very far, very far. Yeah? A moon looks like a small ball, right? It's very far. But you take a telescope, you know, you take a telescope and then look through the telescope, the mind and the star, the moon, they look very near to us. You know, we can know the details. What is there? You know, it's a powerful telescope. Now we get that illusion that the moon is very near, the stars are very near, right? In the same way, the jiva, just like oil and water cannot mix. You know, jiva and material matter cannot actually mix. But the jiva perception that I am associating with matter, I am dealing with matter, comes because of the mind. Just like when you look through the telescope, that illusion is created that, you know, moon is very near. In the same way, when we look through the mind, we get this perception, we know that I am dealing with matter, I am manipulating the matter. So the mind is a, that is why our mind is our friend and mind is our enemy. And mind is the storehouse of this, actually is the cause. No, actually, the all these six enemies, lust, greed, anger and all, kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsarya, all these, you know, they are actually residing in the mind. And the even though we lose the body, body is perishable, but whenever we are taking birth, the mind is coming with us, you know, coming with us. Prabhupada explains, there are two kinds of mind. One is like, you know, surface mind. Like surface mind means, we experience all these emotions and perceive everything through our karmendriyas, you know. And there is a subconscious mind where it is inside. Just like this example is given that there is a lake and it is beautiful to look at and it looks calm. But sometimes the bubbles come suddenly on the surface. The bubbles appear. Prabhupada explains why the bubbles are appearing. Because inside it is rotting. Inside it is rotting. You know, they come up like that. In the same way, just an example is given that the tip of an iceberg in Antarctica, there is once the scientists have observed one tip of the iceberg was broken, and they have measured. So it measured as large as the country of Belgium, just like our Maharashtra state. And in the bottom most is, you know, 7 times larger in volume than the tip of the iceberg. Like that, whatever emotions that we are experiencing, you know, it's only 1/8 of what we have. And inside the our mind, subconscious mind, all these are stored. It's just like in a basement we store so many things. In the same way, the so many of these vasanas, what we call kama bijas, they are actually stored in our subconscious mind. Prabhupada writes in second canto Bhagavatam, for a regular sadhaka or yogi, just like Vishwamitra Muni, he was actually performing great austerity. He performed great austerities and penances for thousands of years. And then he almost conquered everything, lust, greed and anger, and he was very, you know, peaceful. But suddenly Menaka came and, you know, she started dancing. Simply by hearing the sweet sound of ankle bells of Menaka, he fell down. Prabhupada writes, why it happened? Because in the core of the heart, the desire, that lust is still there. You know, that kama bija is still there in the subconscious mind. And suddenly it comes out. Suddenly it comes out. Just like the, in the same way, we see many times devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness for many years, and suddenly he does some abominable activity, then he falls down. Why it happens? Because there is, you know, in the subconscious mind there is deep rooted, the kama bijas are there. And this, all these kama bijas, you know, they come from, the source is envy towards Krishna. And then we have a storehouse, hundreds and thousands and millions of vasanas that we have accumulated in the subconscious mind. So in order to become free, we have to clean, you know, clean up. We have to do this cleaning process, you know, house cleaning, like that, you know, mental cleaning we have to do, you know. We have to do, and the first, you know, the first enemy that we have to attack is this envy. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Narottam Das Thakur says that you know, we can engage the lust in the service of Krishna, we can engage anger in the service of Krishna, we can engage all these five things in the service of Krishna, but envy we cannot engage. Envy we cannot engage. We have to give up this envy. And not only this envy, all these great, many many great personalities, they become overcome by these bad qualities, you know, lust, greed, anger, envy and all that. You know, like there are many examples, you know, just like even Brahmaji, you know, became afflicted with lust towards his daughter. And then Ravana became destroyed because of lust. you know. And then Duryodhan, he became destroyed because of his envy towards Pandavas. You know, even Shishupal, he was very envious of Krishna, like that. And then, you know, this Durvas Muni, you know, he suffered a lot because of his anger, you know. So all these great personalities, you know, they become, they can become overcome by these our enemies, bad qualities. You know, what to speak of us, how careful we should be. You know, how careful we should be. You know, there are many instances, just like there is one instance described in Vishnu Purana, that Vedavyas Muni, he divided the Vedas and then he taught various branches of Vedas to his different disciples. So he taught Yajurveda to Vaishampayana Muni. Vaishampayana Muni had so many disciples. He taught, you know, all these Yajurveda branches and all to many disciples. And one of the disciples is famous Yajnavalkya Muni. One day there was a mega meeting of all great sages. And the leader sages, they have passed a decree that all the sages, they should attend this meeting. And those who do not attend the meeting, they will become afflicted with Brahmahatya Pap. So Vaishampayana Muni, he was very busy teaching Yajurveda. He neglected to attend. And then, so one day he went to his sister's house. Her infant son was lying on the floor, and Vaishampayana Muni crushed that baby to death. And immediately he became afflicted with Brahmahatya Pap. So he called all his disciples and told them that, you know, I became afflicted with Brahmahatya Pap. You, all of you, do prayashchitta, atonement, and make me free from this sin of killing a Brahmana. Then there Yajnavalkya Muni was there, and he said he had great devotion to his guru. Guru Bhakti he had. And then he said, why are you telling everybody I am enough? All these other Brahmanas and all, they are not capable enough. I will do it alone, myself. You know, you don't worry. I will do tapasya and rid you of Brahmahatya Pap. And immediately Vaishampayana Muni could not understand the mind of his disciple, and he became very angry. He said, you rascal, you impudent fellow, you know, you became very proud, you know, you think that you are superior to all the other Brahmanas, so they are also Brahmanas, why are you, you know, degrading them like that? So you are not fit to be my student, you know, get lost from here. Then Yajnavalkya Muni, he became very upset. He said, what kind of guru is this? I have done, my dear Guru Maharaj, I have done this out of great love and devotion towards you, but you do not understand my mind. So what is the use of having a spiritual master like you who cannot understand the mind of his disciple? So he said, I am also rejecting you. Then he said, whatever I learned from you, I don't want. He put his fingers in his throat and took out all the Yajurveda knowledge from his heart and then threw it out on the floor. Along with that, some blood also came out. So all the other Brahmanas, they knew that Yajnavalkya Muni, he was very proficient in Yajurveda. So they did not want to eat that remnants of Yajnavalkya Muni. They became kingfisher, titriya birds, and ate that Yajurveda remnants along with the blood. So when they gave it, that's why it became Titriya Upanishad. Titriya Upanishad. So I was reading, when I was reading that, I was just thinking, how, you know, people blame me that I become angry. But just see, you know, Vaishampayana Muni, who is such a proficient, you know, sage. He learned the Yajurveda from Vedavyas Muni, and he is such a great sage. Unnecessarily he became angry, you know, over his disciple. So later on Yajnavalkya Muni did tapasya and pleased the sun god. Then sun god came to him in the form of a horse. And then he asked, what do you want? Then he said, I want to learn those portions of Yajurveda which my spiritual master did not know. You know, which Vedvyas Muni did not teach. So then sun god actually taught him. Then he became another master for Yajurveda, which Vaishampaya Muni doesn't know. Like that. And like Durvasa Muni, we see, you know, how he became, he had to suffer so much because of his not able to control his anger. And then nowadays, there is a say, you know, previously, one ad used to come, I don't know when it comes or not, Onida TV advertisement, right? Owner's pride and neighbor's envy. So they actually promote this envious mentality among people, you know. This is, you know, very like Prabhupada defines in second canto Bhagavatam, you know, Grihamedi means envious grihastha. You know, their whole life depends, you know, what others have. You know, they are not satisfied with what they have. You know, but they are very disturbed, you know, with what others have. You know, just like once in Mahabharata it is described, once Bhima was sitting there after Mahabharata war was over, then one person came running, said, Bhimaji, Bhimaji, I have got one doubt. So what is that? I have observed to my dismay, to my surprise, that my fence was, you know, eating the crop. Other man, you know, other person's crop. Can you explain why it is like that? So Bhima said, I don't understand. Please go to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He will reply. You know. Another person came running and he said, Bhimaji, Bhimaji, I got a doubt. So what is that? I took out, you know, water from the bucket and filled up, you know, in small tumblers. When I put the water back, only half the bucket was full. You know, said this. Bhima was thinking, you know, today is a bad day. This kind of intellectual problems I am facing. You know. He said, go to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he can only reply. Then another person came running and then he said, Bhimaji, I got one doubt. Oh, what is that? I have seen one person passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. But the whole elephant passed through, but the tail got stuck. What is that? You know, I can't understand. See, if you ask me to beat somebody, I have got 10,000 elephant strength, I can beat. But this kind of questions I cannot answer. You know, you go to Yudhishthira Maharaj only. One more person came and he said, you know, I have seen very interesting thing. So what is that? Few wrestlers, very bodybuilders, are pushing, trying to push a very heavy stone, boulder. But they were not able to push. But one sadhu came and he just waved his chadar and then just, you know, stone started moving. I don't understand. Said, this, please go to Yudhishthira Maharaj, I can't reply. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he heard this, said, oh, Kali Yuga has entered. So first question is relevant for us, that the person who was, you know, asking this question, you know, fence was eating the crop of the other man, you know, field, in the other man's field. So Yudhishthira Maharaj replied that actually in this Kali Yuga we are not satisfied with what we have, you know, but we are disturbed by what others have. We are envious in what others have. Oh, I have a Maruti car, he is not happy, but if other person has a Mercedes Benz, he is very disturbed. I am washing clothes with my hands. If the other person has washing machine, he is very disturbed. Like that, we are disturbed by others' accumulation. So that is actually definition of Grihamedi. Envious of other living entity, other people, and then they want to, we want to compete with others. So that competitive nature comes from the envious mentality. To finish that, other three questions, like second one was, Yudhishthira Maharaj explained that in this age of Kali, people are ungrateful. You do many things for others, but they don't, if you expect them to repay back, don't expect, because they will not. People are ungrateful. Right? Third one was elephant passing through the eye of the needle. People are very fond of spending lakhs and lakhs of rupees for marriages, but when it comes to giving donation to Hare Krishna Mandir, they will say they will give only 101 rupees. Right? They hesitate. So fourth one was sadhu waving the, it is represents, even though there are many faults in this age of Kali, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we can achieve perfection. Like that. So we can learn from this, that how the need for giving up envy. In fifth canto Bhagavatam, there are prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. He prays that Swasti astu vishvasya kala prasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mitho diya manascha badram bhajatat adokshaje aveshyatam na matir api ahetyuki. So Prahlad Maharaj was praying that may there be good fortune throughout the whole universe and may all envious persons be peaceful. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in service of Supreme Transcendental Lord, Transcendence, Lord Shri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So here Prahlad Maharaj is praying that he is actually, he suffered so much in the hands of Hiranyakashipu, who was very envious of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, he recognized this and he was praying to the Lord that may all the living entities become free from envy. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in the purport, he quotes, Prabhupada quotes, that this is a symptom of a devotee, that a devotee doesn't pray for himself, he has no desires, but he prays for others. So here Prahlad Maharaj is praying that all the living entities become free from envy. So that, like Prabhupada writes in the purport, that if one becomes free from envy, that person becomes very liberal in his social dealings. In his social dealings. Then we can think of others' welfare. Even the devotees also, if we want to do welfare for other living entities, we have to become free from envy. Otherwise, if you are preaching and then that person becomes a devotee, and it may happen that he may become more advanced than us, then we may try to pull him. Hey, you are my junior devotee, this, that. That disease may attack us. So we have to become free. Unless we become free from this envious mentality, then we cannot actually do welfare for other living entities. Then Prahlad Maharaj says, anybody who takes up Krishna consciousness process, he becomes free from envy in the mind. And that is why Prabhupada writes that we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit on our heart and tear apart our heart. Tear apart heart. So just like Hiranyakashipu's heart was tore apart and the intestines were taken out. Right? Like that, like Jananivas Prabhu was saying once in the class, that actually Mayapur Narsingadev, he is very powerful. If you pray to him, he will bestow all benedictions on us. So if we can actually pray to Lord Narsingadev, right, to become free from all these bad qualities, lust, greed and anger. But he explains that, but we don't want to become. That is why we are afraid of going in front of him, because we are afraid that he will take away all our bad desires. We want to keep them so that we can enjoy. You know, that is our problem. But if we actually pray, once Prabhupada was on a morning walk conversation and he was saying, do you know why we have sex desire? He asked. They were all thinking, you know, whenever the disciples, they hear such a kind of question, then they, you know, expect some very deep philosophical point. So they were explaining this, that. But Prabhupada said, very simple. Because we want to have. Because we want to have. You know, this is a problem like that. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, another is envious person like Hiranyakashipu and Duryodhan. Sometimes it is possible that a snake can be subdued, pacified by mantra oshadi, by chanting some mantras and giving some herbs. But an envious person can never be pacified. Can never be pacified. Like in the Hitopadesha, there is a saying that a ship for crossing the difficult ocean, a lamp against the arrival of darkness, a fan when there is no breeze, a goad for controlling the elephant. Thus, there is nothing on the earth for which the Creator has not taken care to provide a remedy. But for destroying evil tendencies from the minds of those who are wicked, the Creator too has failed in his effort. Of course, it is Hitopadesha only, but by doing devotional service we can become free. But just we can see how Krishna went to for Raibar, for you know, peace messenger to Hastinapur to pacify, you know, Duryodhan. Even though actually Duryodhan could have been happy, you know, he was not entitled for even Adharaj, Adha, you know, of the kingdom. But Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed, and all of them, they gave. He should have been satisfied with whatever he has got, but actually he was not to get anything. He had to just remain as a Yuvaraj only. Right? But somehow he got it, he should have been satisfied. But he was envious of Pandavas. He was thinking, I didn't get the other half. You know? So he was overcome by so much envy, like when he entered Maya Sabha during Rajasri's sacrifice. And then, you know, somehow by the arrangement of Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj appointed Duryodhan as in charge of the treasury, you know, for receiving the gifts and keeping all the gifts in the treasure house. And, you know, all the kings from all over the world, they were coming and giving, you know, valuable gifts. And each time somebody would bring, you know, a valuable gift, and then his heart will burn with envy. His heart will burn with envy. When he saw the opulence of Maya Sabha, he became so disturbed that he just wanted to go. Shakuni, you know, specified him, no, you stay, you know, otherwise it doesn't look good. You know? Yeah, otherwise he is burning with envy throughout his stay during Rajasri sacrifice. And that was the cause for Mahabharata war. And then what happened? Finally, what happened? He became destroyed, and his entire clan became destroyed. Right? So sometimes we also may become affected by others' envy. But actually, we should not be bothered so much. One thing is, we should take care not to exhibit our opulence or of devotional service or good qualities and all, because there is always a chance that some envious people, they may try to pull us down. But actually, even if they try to pull us down, sometimes we may experience some obstacles, but ultimately envious person will become destroyed. Like in Andhra, there is our grandmother used to say, there is a saying, you know, for this envious person. If an envious person tries to do something, it's just like this. You lift your head and spit. What will happen? It'll fall on us. Right? Like that, if you become envious of other devotees and try to do harm to others, you know, it'll come on us. It'll backfire on us. So we have to be very careful not to be envious of, especially of other devotees. Like it is described that Prabhupada describes that in Vaikuntha, although flowering plants like Mandara, Kunda, Utpala, Champaka, Arna, Punnaga, Nagakarna, Bakula, Lily, Parijata, all these flowers, you know, they exhibit fragrance, but they all, you know, are still conscious of austerities performed by Tulsi. For Tulsi given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulsi leaves. One more verse. With the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. So this is a remedy for overcoming envy. You know, this is the remedy for overcoming envy. Like the first principle for overcoming envy is celebrating the success of others. You know, believing in ocean of abundance. Like it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Volume 1 that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Ramkeli, there two devotees, you know, Sakar Mallik and Dabir Khas, they went to meet him. And they fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, keeping a piece of grass between their teeth and tying a cloth around their neck. Fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started crying that, my dear Lord, we are most fallen. We are associated with meat eaters. You know, Jagai Madai, they are more pious than us. Even though they committed sinful activities, they did not associate with meat eaters, and they are not the servants of meat eaters. And if you see if you search in the whole world, you won't find more sinful persons than us. When we think of our own sinful activities, we become ashamed of us, and to come in front of you and beg for forgiveness, we are afraid. Your name as Patita Pavana will be fulfilled only when you deliver us. You are our only hope. Like that, they were praying to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted them and placed his lotus hands on their heads. And then he told them that, my dear Dabir Khas and Sakar Mallik, from now onwards you will be known as Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan and Rupa. And you, you are my eternal servant all the time. Please, you know, give up your humility. Seeing your humility, my heart is breaking. You know, then Sanatana and Rupa, they took the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and kept them on their heads. So when it's not a joke, you know, getting the dust of lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when this was seen by all the devotees. All the devotees, they were actually jubilant. They were jubilant that Rupa and Sanatana, they got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada writes very elaborate purport on this that I will just read out. That Sri Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Peche Keva. Unless one serves a Vaishnava, he cannot be delivered. The spiritual master initiates the disciple to deliver him, and if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master and does not offend other Vaishnavas, his path is clear. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the Vaishnavas present to show mercy towards two brothers, Rupa and Sanatana, who had just been initiated by the Lord. When a Vaishnava sees that another Vaishnava is a recipient of the Lord's mercy, he becomes very happy. Vaishnavas are not envious. If a Vaishnava, by the mercy of the Lord, is empowered by him to distribute the Lord's holy name all over the world, other Vaishnavas become very joyful. That is, if they are truly Vaishnavas. One who is envious of the success of a Vaishnava is certainly not a Vaishnava himself, but an ordinary mundane man. Envy and jealousy are manifested by mundane people, not by Vaishnavas. Why should a Vaishnava be envious of another Vaishnava who is successful in spreading the holy name of the Lord? An actual Vaishnava is very pleased to accept another Vaishnava who is bestowing the Lord's mercy. A mundane person in the dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected but rejected. This is enjoined in the Shastra, Upeksha. The word Upeksha means neglect. One should neglect an envious person. A preacher's duty is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendship with Vaishnavas, show mercy to the innocent, and reject or neglect those who are envious or jealous. There are many jealous people in the dress of Vaishnavas in this Krishna consciousness movement, and they should be completely neglected. There is no need to serve a jealous person who is in the dress of a Vaishnava. When Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva, Rishtara Pecha Keba, he is indicating an actual Vaishnava, not an envious or jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava. Very hard-hitting. Prabhupada is saying there are many people who are in the dress of a Vaishnava in our Krishna consciousness movement, and we should neglect them. Very simple. We can test ourselves whether we are overcome by envy or not. Right? Suppose if somebody comes to me and says, Prabhu, I have attended so and so's Vaishnava's lecture, and he gave such a wonderful lecture. He is such a nice Vaishnava. You know, I am very impressed. Right? So our response is, you don't know what kind of a rascal he is. You know, because you are outsider, you don't know what is happening in the temple. You want to know full details, what he does? If our response is that means I am envious of that person. But if you respond, yes, I know he is such a nice Vaishnava. You know, he reads a lot of, all the time he is reading Bhagavatam and hearing proper lectures and, sitting in the class every day. Yes, you should associate with him more and more. If I say like that, then I am not free, I am not envious. I am free from envy. So, we can judge, it's a litmus test. If I become disturbed by others' success, then, that means I am envious. So, this mentality we can overcome by remembering one example. That suppose if I'm standing on the shore of an ocean, right, and there is so much water, and there are so many people, I am having a small tumbler, another person is having a glass, another person is having a bucket, another person is having a huge tanker, one more person, joined a large pipe to drain water. Suppose all of us, we start taking out the water. Will anybody feel shortage of water from the ocean? Huh? Oh, do I have to be disturbed? That, this person has connected the pipe, I should cut it off so that, I can, take enough water. Do you have to think like that? No. There is abundance of water. That fellow who connected the pipe, he can draw as much as water as possible. The person who is having a tumbler only, he can draw as much water as he likes. It all depends not the shortage of supply, demand and supply. If there is demand, there will be supply. Even the poorest of man, he can arrange for the funeral of their person, their relatives. Right? There is that container is like consciousness. What kind of consciousness you have? You want to have more? You will get more. There is no need to disturb others from getting what they want. So embrace success of others. Be joyful. Then when we appreciate and then we become joyful of others' success, then we also will receive success and joy. But if we become envious, then we also become affected. We also will not get. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything, and he is unlimited. He is unlimited. And if somebody is collecting 1 crore per year, there is no need to go to his members and disturb and tell in a bad mouth this devotee that, you know, you don't know what he is like that. You know, there is no need. If some preacher is, you know, attracting so many students, so many congregation devotees, so many, you know, devotees, there is no need to disturb that person. You know, if I want, you know, Krishna will give me to me also that opportunity. You know, because there is no dearth of service in the kingdom, realm of Krishna's kingdom. There is no dearth of wealth for Krishna to give to all. We should become deserved. We should become deserved, like that. So this is the principle, you know, we should always remember for giving up envy. You know, mental cleaning we have to do. You know, so this we cannot engage. We have to consciously try all the time and, you know, guard ourselves from becoming envious of other Vaishnavas. So if you become envious of other Vaishnavas, then Prabhupada writes, you know, we should be rejected. So other devotees will reject us, you know, neglect us. Yeah. But if you become free from envy, then we become very liberal in our activities, in our dealings with other people, and you know, we can do welfare activities for others, and then we can attract Krishna. You know, we can attract Krishna. Once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever any Vaishnava comes from Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first question he would ask is that, you know, Rupa and Sanatana, how are they? What are they doing? He was very affectionate towards Rupa and Sanatana, very dear to him. They are very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once in the assembly of Vaishnavas, Ramananda Roy, Sarup Damodar Goswami and all other great exalted Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praising Rupa and Sanatana as if he has got 1000 tongues. And then he was looking at the faces of other Vaishnavas. What is their reaction? Prabhupada writes, so Mahaprabhu is, you know, looking at the other's faces, you know, he wants to judge who is envious. So if he envious means, he's, you know, he becomes very morose if he hears other's praise, you know, like that. Rupa, Mahaprabhu was, you know, testing other disciples, whether they are envious or they are joyful of when they hear the glories of Rupa and Sanatana. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he was telling that he used to do, when he used to distribute books in the libraries, he had a litmus test, who will take and who will not take. You know, a demon means, as soon as he sees a picture of Krishna or hears of Krishna, he becomes envious. So he would do one thing, he would go and he would open the book or paintings and he would say, please take this book. So that librarian is a demon, immediately as soon as he sees Krishna's picture, he will become envious. Right? You know, lectures also we find, when we describe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this, that, and we don't talk about Lord Shiva and all, but still, you know, somebody will ask, why you are saying Krishna is God, why not Lord Shiva? One day I asked one person, why are you taking up the case of Lord Shiva? Is he your relative or something? What is your problem if I am saying Krishna is God? You know, demon means he is envious of Krishna. He becomes disturbed. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, if he sees the picture of Krishna and he becomes very happy, wow, very nice picture, very nice painting, then he will pursue. Yeah, this person will take Bhagavatam set. Like that. So we had to be constantly on guard of becoming envious of other Vaishnavas. Anytime there's so many vasanas are there, anytime this will attack us. So we have to be careful. So we should constantly pray to Lord Nishingadev to tear apart our heart and rid of all our these enemies, lust, greed and anger, especially enviousness. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment? Yes. Switch on. You can ask.
It's a very interesting lecture. So my question is, suppose if I am envious of someone else, just like you gave that example.
Yeah, yeah, he is also envious. Otherwise,
he is ignorant, he does not know.
He is also envious, that's why he would he agreed to take part in your plot. Pull him down.
Suppose I cheat him, that is, I try to make him understand that in fact he is envious of me, so that's why I am doing this to him. So this person is foolish. You may say he is a kind of foolish person, so that's why he could not understand. So I engage him, I tell him that you do this because he is envious of me. You do this to him. So then is it...
Yeah, because
is he also
whether you do with knowledge or without knowledge. Offense is an offense, a sin is a sin. Right? You can't say, I'm ignorant, so I've done it.
Hare Krishna, we take birth in the material world because we are envious of Krishna.
Yes.
Now, when we offer bhoga to Lord Krishna, whatever is left over, that only we take, correct? Similarly, we are not competitors against Krishna. We don't want to enjoy like him. We know he is the only enjoyer. But whatever is left over after he enjoys, that we only will enjoy.
That is okay. Remnants of Krishna. That is a devotee. Right? Prabhupada says a devotee never eats in Manarada Pancharatra. Very strong statement is there. If a person eats any foodstuff that is not offered to Krishna, he is just like eating stool. And if he is drinking anything without offering to Krishna, that is eating drinking like urine. So Prabhupada says a devotee never he always takes only remnants of Krishna. That is the mentality of devotee. But a karmi, he asks, why are you building a marble temple for Krishna? So many poor people are there. Why are you wasting so many crores? That is envy. I'll tell, why are you building all these movie theaters? They are waste, you know. You, with instead of building movie theaters, use that money for building houses for, slum dwellers. No, no. They want movie theaters, but marble temple for Krishna is a waste. Prabhupada said, what marble temple? We have to make it with gold. Right? A karmi who is envious of Krishna thinks like that. But devotees, we are building, you know, big, big marble temples. Any other? Any comment? Huh? Corrections?
Hare Krishna Bhaji.
Do you have any sastric example where the person becomes, like devotee becomes free from envious in this lifetime?
Sastric example?
Who becomes free from envious.
Yeah. All those who have gone back, come back to God, they became free from envy. So many sastric, Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Kardam Muni, Amrish Maharaj. Like Prabhupada, he was talking about Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj and all, you know. In 1991, 92, when I became devotee, and then I went to Mayapur. That time I was not a full-time devotee. I happened to visit Chaitanya Mart. Then I purchased one book, in Telugu, written by Bhaktivilas Tirtha. So I was reading, and then when I came to the sentence that, you know, there are some people who are proud and who are envious of their spiritual master, and you know, keep the name as Prabhupada, you know, their own spiritual master's title and all. So I understood that he was envious of Prabhupada, and he was writing about Prabhupada. Immediately I threw that book out. I never read that book again. I never read their books, because they are very envious of Prabhupada, you know. So Prabhupada was saying this Bhaktivilas Tirtha is like a snake. Yeah. When they were purchasing a land, some of these God brothers, they went to the Muslim landowners, and they told him not to sell land to the ISKCON. When Prabhupada came to know, he was very disappointed and disturbed. And so, oh, these people are so envious and trying to disrupt my movement. That's why Prabhupada writes. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Grandraj Bhagavatam Ki.
Hare Krishna. For those devotees who are attending ISKCON, prasadam is arranged in the Padma Hall on the second floor. Thank you.